They want to feed hungry families, but city officials keep shutting them down. Hi, I'm Stuart Shepard, and this is First Liberty Live. Thank you for liking and sharing our videos. You're an important part of this project, introducing these conversations to new people, and we are grateful that you are taking part in that. Jeremy Dice is one of our attorneys here at First Liberty. He leads our efforts to protect houses of worship, and he's been to this Arizona church that we're about to talk about, and he's going to tell us what he saw. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi.
Give us the backstory. What's going on at Gethsemane Baptist Church?
Well, Gethsemane Baptist Church has been in San Luis, Arizona, right on the border in southwest Arizona for about 30 years, 25 or 30 years. And during that time, they've developed an incredible ministry to the region. They give out thousands of pounds of food every year. And they truck in that food from as far away as Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Yuma. They bring that food there. They distribute it to local residents, people who are crossing the border. There are people that come across the border from Mexico, churches that come across the border with a pickup truck, load up the pickup truck as full as it can be and take it back and give out food across the region in Mexico. Food banks depend upon this church to receive food in the greater Yuma and San Luis area. So there are a lot of people that have come to depend upon the distribution of this food. And so this has been an incredible and vibrant ministry in an area of the country that is desperately in need of someone to help out giving people food.
Let's talk about that for a bit. You've met the pastor there. Tell us about him and why his heart is in this part of ministry.
Yeah, Pastor Castro was called by someone in the United States 25, 30 years ago to come to the United States and plant this church. And they said, if you'll come, we'll help you get citizenship. Please stay. And he did. He developed a real heart for the ministry there and helped plant that church and build it to what it is today. And so he cares for the souls of the people who are coming across the border, the community of San Luis, elsewhere. But he also cares for their needs as well. And so this has been a very easy development for him to say, look, I want to care for these people's souls. I want to tell them about Jesus, but I also want to give them food to eat so they don't go to bed with rumbles in their tummies anymore, that they can actually hear the gospel because they have a full belly. And that's, I think, what makes the situation all the more tragic.
So it seems pretty straightforward. There are hungry people. Church decides to help out. They find people who are willing to donate food. They give that food away. But the city started setting up roadblocks in that project. Tell us what has happened there with city officials.
Yeah, that just happened recently with an election of a new mayor. Because before that, the city of San Luis has been a great partner with the pastor. In fact, they gave him warehouse space to store some of this extra food. They featured his semi-truck and trailer in the Founders Day parades and celebrated it. City councilmen would come out to the church and help distribute food, especially during COVID.
Yeah.
And so this has been a great partnership that they've had for some years in San Luis. But then Mayor Riddell is elected, and it seems to be her way or the highway for her. And things just became back and forth all too often. And most recently, they began sending code enforcers out and police officers out and issuing him citations, sometimes for things that are 25 or 30 years in arrears. So it's weird that they're using the law to intimidate this pastor, especially when the work that he's doing is so critical to the needs of the community.
He's doing the work there for sure. What are some of the things the city's complaining about? I mean, what are they getting on him for?
It seems the biggest complaint is the fact that to haul that much food requires a truck, right? And they have a semi-truck that they haul the food with. And the law in San Luis, the ordinances there, say that you can have a semi-truck parked on the side of the road for up to 2 hours to load and unload. That's very common across the country.
Everywhere.
In fact, just down the street, there is a Head Start program. Now, that's a federal funded program that provides food to public elementary schools. And there is a weekly delivery of food by semi-truck parked on the side of the road just down the street from the church, loading and unloading the food. In this case, there are commercial vehicles that are parked in driveways, tow trucks, food trucks, things like that, directly across the street and around the corner, all in the same residential area. But when the pastor parks his truck there, or even pauses it there for a few minutes, or dares to park it in the parking lot of the church itself, then the police and code enforcers show up and issue him tickets. Turning a blind eye to Head Start and these other commercial vehicles and parking lots while sending the police out to punish this pastor is the highest form of hypocrisy. This mayor should be encouraging Pastor Castro, praising him instead of punishing him and fining him.
I'm concerned for the people he feeds. What are they doing in the meantime?
They're going to bed hungry tonight. That's the real reality here, is that because of these, so he's received two citations within 6 days of each other.
Yeah.
If he receives a third citation, well, that carries additional penalties in terms of fines. He's already received several fines that we're going to have to deal with as well in this case. But if it comes a third time, those fines increase, and he faces the possibility of criminal charges being issued against him as well, which he can't afford to do. So while we're pursuing this lawsuit, he's had to press pause on the food distribution program, which means that people are going to bed hungry tonight because the city is so dead set against this effort. We'd be happy to sit down with Mayor Rydell and figure out a way for this church to continue the critical ministry that it's had for 25 or 30 years. Think about this. This church is often the very first one to hand a bottle of water or a piece of food to people crossing the border. They're often the only source for people in the community to have a meal that night. Food banks have come to depend upon this church to distribute food to them. So beyond San Luis, the mayor's actions are causing people to go to bed hungry tonight. And on top of all that, and perhaps even worse still, it's depriving Pastor Castro of the chance to share the gospel with them, to talk to them about Jesus and share his faith practically and eternally with these people. That's something that the First Amendment stands completely against.
You head up our practice group, as we call it, the Watches Over Houses of Worship. What I'm hearing is just wrong. But it's interesting to me in that usually we think of defending houses of worship, we want them to be able to speak. That's a free speech kind of issue. But it goes so much broader than that, and this is a great example of it, in that churches do ministry in a lot of different ways, and that's worth protecting as well. This is why First Liberty got involved. Tell me why the church is on the right side of this.
Well, the First Amendment and federal law protects not just speech, what we'd talk about, you know, literally talking or writing, or but it also protects expression. And so the exercise of religion, the expression of your faith, is sometimes intangible, meaning it's not the actual, you know, something practical, but it is oftentimes something very practical. So the speaking part of that is clearly protected in the First Amendment.
Yeah.
But this idea of exercising your faith is equally protected, that you're actually able to give something tangible to people as an outworking of your religious beliefs. That's precisely what Pastor Castro and Gethsemane Baptist Church are trying to do in San Luis. They're trying to actually do things that they feel compelled or conscience-bound or even required by their faith to do. He thinks that a good Christian, at least in his ministry, is not someone that just simply comes there on Sunday morning and talks about Jesus. That is part of it, surely.
It's important.
But there is more to it than that. And actually going and meeting physical needs is an expression of that. Now, we've seen, thankfully, ample evidence of this, not only throughout church history, but in the Bible itself, where there's clear direction given to feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and doing all the things that the Lord has required of his people. That's just all he's doing, is doing what Jesus modeled for him to do anyway. It just happens to take place right on the border of our country.
So where are we as far as this being a case? What step in the process are we at right now?
We filed a federal lawsuit right at the beginning of March. And with that lawsuit, we filed a request for a preliminary injunction. That'll take some time for the city to respond to. And eventually, at some point, I hope soon, we'll have a hearing with a federal district court judge. And I hope out of that hearing, we receive a preliminary injunction, which says that while the case continues on, the pastor can engage in his religious expression by handing out food again, making sure people are filled to the brim before they go to bed at night.
All right. Anything else you'd like to share before I let you go? You've covered it well.
This is an incredible ministry that's taking place at the southern border. We've heard so many things about the great needs that are coming across our border. Agree or disagree with what's going on down there, that doesn't matter. People are coming across that border hungry, and he is giving them a cup of cold water. He's giving them a plate of food. Or at least he was until this mayor got in the way.
This rings a bell with me because you and I were both in Bryan, Ohio, way far away from San Luis, Arizona, but it was a very similar case involving a church there that was doing outreach. Does this seem like deja vu to you as well?
It really does. And, you know, Bryan, Ohio was covered by USA Today on the front page of their newspaper, articulating that, hey, what's happening in Bryan with Dad's Place is actually happening all across the country. And you're seeing this, whether it's in Bryan or somewhere else, where cities use their police powers, their zoning laws and things like that in a negative way to impact the free exercise of religion. That's why not only do we have a First Amendment that restrains that, or as one justice recently said, hamstrings the government, mm-hmm. And for preventing them from actually taking over and telling you how to believe and how to exercise, But we also have federal law that says, look, if you as a city are going to try to burden or substantially burden the free exercise of religion, you better come provide us with a compelling reason why you have to do that. And then you have to prove to us that you've done this as small as possible, as leastly restrictive as possible.
Yeah.
I don't think the city can do that in this case at all. They've not even presented the justification, let alone saying, hey, we can do this in a very small way.
Thank you for being on the front lines of these. This is important work, and we'll be praying for the outcome there in Arizona. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
And thank you. If you want to see America's religious heritage and free exercise of religion protected, you can make that happen by supporting First Liberty Institute. We know this is something you want to see happen in the real world. If you'd like to make that happen, one way you can do that is by supporting the work that we do here. Look for the big red give button up at the top of our webpage. First Liberty is fighting for what matters most.